I did not mean to imply that Babylon the Great is the king of the north. The 17th chapter of Revelation depicts Babylon the Great as a harlot who has a kingdom over the kings of the earth. And so it is, whatever these kingdoms do against God's people is directed and promoted by Babylon the Great. For example, it says that within this harlot, or this prostitute, as the newly revised New World Translation words it, she's drunk with the blood of God's prophets. So that means going back to the time even before Christ, but particularly since the time of Christ, those who are anointed have been persecuted, many have been martyred by the political wild beast, but behind the scenes instigated by the religious leaders. And we know that to be the case in modern times as well. For example, recently in France, the government imposed a punitive tax upon the watchtower. But we can be sure that behind the scenes, promoting that that tax was the Catholic Church. Same thing now in Russia, that Jehovah's Witnesses have been banned in Moscow, and even recently the lower courts wanted to ban access to the JW.org website, which was overturned recently by a higher court. But at any rate, no doubt, the Russian Orthodox Church is behind that, trying to get rid of what they perceive as a religious competitor. So Babylon the Great does not act alone. And that's why a good portion of the 17th chapter of Revelation is taken up not describing Babylon the Great, the harlot, but describing the beast upon which she is mounted and which will ultimately destroy her. And it's interesting that Revelation describes it as a mystery. A mystery is not something that is so easily understood. In fact, it's something that God has concealed from us for a particular time. So with the revelation of Christ will come the ultimate revealing of the mystery of this woman. But let's do a little detective work here. Is the Watchtower's interpretation correct? Did Babylon the Great fall in 1918 or 1919 and allow Jehovah's people to go free? Well, that question can easily be answered, because the vision of Revelation depicts the harlot on the beast after it comes out of an abyss. And all the people of the world are amazed and are very grateful that this beast has come back to rule over them. And it says specifically in the 17th chapter of Revelation that not one of them is written down in the book of life from the founding of the world. In other words, anyone who accepts the rule of this beast out of the abyss will not have life. They will receive the judgment of the second death. Okay, that's when the marking takes place, the 666. It means that people are doomed. No hope of salvation, no hope of a resurrection, eternal death. Why such a harsh judgment? Particularly since all the wicked and unrighteous, for the most part, who've lived and died, will receive a resurrection of judgment. In other words, they'll be given a chance to straighten out their lives. They'll be on probation. But those who worship the wild beast upon whom sits this harlot, they will forfeit their lives. And the reason is because when the beast comes out of the abyss, the kingdom of Christ Jesus will then be in full control. And for an allotted period, 3.5 years, this beast will rule simultaneously with Christ. So people will be given a clear choice: accept the rule of Christ's kingdom and be persecuted, or go with the program and go with the beast and be annihilated. So the question is, did the beast come out of the abyss back during World War I? Well, the answer is obviously no. But the Watchtower says yes. In fact, their interpretation is so convoluted, they say that there are two beasts that come out of the abyss on two separate occasions. They make a distinction between the seven-headed wild beast and the scarlet-colored seven-headed wild beast that comes out of the abyss. But in the 11th chapter of Revelation, it points out that God's two witnesses are conquered and killed by the wild beast after it comes out of the abyss. But the Watchtower says, oh no, that's a different abyss, because the abyss can often refer to the sea. So that's merely saying that the beast came out of the sea, which is described in the 13th chapter of Revelation. And of course, they have a whole concocted, convoluted interpretation that these two witnesses supposedly were killed back during World War I or whenever, when, you know, Rutherford went off to prison. But I'm not going to go into that here. I've written enough on it to show that that is complete nonsense. But I think to really appreciate how Jehovah's Witnesses have gotten this thing so turned around in their minds, I really appreciate the way it's worded in the newly revised New World Translation in 2 Thessalonians, where it used to refer to the operation of air that God allows to go to them. But now it says that God allows a deluding influence to go to them. And I think that's a much more accurate term. In fact, I wrote an article some years ago describing it as a delusion, the whole 1914 thing and all the interpretations that have been attached to it. The end of a delusion is at hand, as an article I penned some years ago. But I would implore Jehovah's Witnesses to consider the possibility that you are under a deluding influence. And to test whether you are or not, why not take the test? Consider an article I published a couple of years ago entitled 30 Questions for the Watchtower and for Jehovah's Witnesses. And all 30 questions are based upon stuff that has appeared in E. Watchman and predicated largely on the Watchtower's interpretation of prophecy. If you cannot answer a significant number of those questions or find the answer, I don't expect everyone to be a fountain of knowledge, but if you can't find the correct answer in the Watchtower's literature, then obviously something doesn't add up. So, but only by accepting this reality of a deluding influence can we get some inkling of what is in store in the future. And we may expect that this eighth king will arise in the future. The whole system is going to crash. That's the seventh head of the beast getting the sword stroke. It's the beast, the entire beast, going into the abyss. It will be a terrifying time. It will jolt people out of their minds. As Jesus said, men will become faint out of fear and expectation of things coming upon the earth. At the opening of the sixth seal, it describes the stars falling from the heaven and every mountain being rocked off its place and every island. And people will run to the mountains and say, fall over us and protect us from the one seated upon the throne and from the Lamb. So when this system is rocked to its foundation, people will still look to men to save them. And that will be their doom. But this prostitute will survive. And when the political system comes back, she'll be in control over this beast, as she's always been. And then Jehovah's Witnesses will hear the command to get out of her, because the Watchtower will be completely subjected It will compromise and treacherously betray Jehovah's Witnesses. So Jehovah's Witnesses, I mean, right now they're attached to the Watchtower. Nothing can shake them. But Jehovah will require that they leave the Watchtower if they want to accept the rule of Christ Jesus. It won't be a matter of rejecting the Trinity or whatever. I mean, and besides, back when Babylon literally conquered Judah and dragged the Jews off to faraway Babylon, when Babylon fell, all the Jews were commanded to get out of her and touch nothing unclean and make their way back to Jerusalem. And so they left en masse, sort of like the Exodus when they left Egypt centuries before. But the way the Watchtower is interpreted it, leaving Babylon the Great is merely a matter of, you know, resigning from your church or whatever and becoming one of Jehovah's Witnesses. And so people have been getting out of Babylon the Great over this past century by, you know, resigning from their church roster and becoming baptized as Jehovah's Witnesses. And supposedly, the Bible students got out of Babylon the Great back in 1919. Who knows how, but when Rutherford got out of prison and reinvigorated the preaching work, that was how they got out of Babylon the Great then, and it's been ongoing. But that's not really the way it happened in the original. So that's why I say it, when the King of the North comes into the land of decoration, that will be an incursion by this eighth king. And even though Daniel doesn't mention the, you know, the connection with the harlot, we may be sure that it is the religion is involved in that as well. So Jehovah's Witnesses will come under control of Satan's political beast and his religious system somehow, some way. It's not clear yet because it's a mystery, but it will be clear, and it will require that Jehovah's Witnesses forsake what they're comfortable with and demonstrate their faith outside of the Watchtower Society. And those that do will gain salvation, and those that don't will lose out.